Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy, a cricket show, your guide to better cricket for the next half an hour or so. We're going to talk about the game. My name's David Hinchliffe. I look after things here. And along the road with me are two very fine cricket coaches. The first is the Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Hello, Garris.
The wind is blowing, the leaves are floating. There you go.
And second of all, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hello there. An eventful start to the show.
I know. Of course, no one will hear the last sort of 10, 15 minutes because it'll all be edited out.
Which is a great shame, I feel, because some of the conversation has been outstanding, not only in its kind of intellect, but also in its the interest it would gauge from the listeners around the planet.
That's right. No one will ever hear it, so never mind. We'll move on to talking rubbish again. And there was a topic that interested me this week in talking about learning styles, in that we've got a couple of guys going through their level two coaching qualifications at the club at the moment, which is great news. And they're coming back loaded up with a lot of the kind of thing that you hear about when you go on a coaching course. You know, there's a lot of words that you don't normally hear outside of a coaching course. And one of the things that they've just dropped into the conversation every now and again is their learning styles, and saying, I'm much more of a kinesthetic learner than I am a can't remember what the word was, but auditory learner, or whatever it was.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this and thinking about these type of learning styles, which is a very well-established theory about how people learn things, and how you balance that out in a cricket environment, which a lot of the time is to do with actually doing those things, right? I mean, in order to get better at playing a cover drive, you have to try and play a cover drive. So a couple of questions around that, really, and how you do things. How do you balance out those different learning styles with people? Is it very individual? Or do you focus more on one than the other because people naturally are more drawn towards doing things and seeing things than they are towards, say, hearing things?
Yeah, learning styles is another fantastic tool that we can use alongside other tools to get the best out of individuals or best out of teams. So it's something that we use a lot. I think coaches intuitively use it quite a lot without necessarily having the words that are associated with the learning style. So you've got your visual learners, you've got your auditory learners that you talked about. I'm an auditory learner, so I learn a lot from being on the edges of conversations and listening in on the edges of conversations and maybe asking a question of my own to get more understanding. That's one of my ways of going about my own learning. But bottom line is that we can access all of them. And as you quite rightly said in your bit to start this off, David, is that to learn a cover drive, we have to be able to do it. You know, we have to learn to do it. We need to make some mistakes. We need to learn from those mistakes. And we need to groove in order to be able to repeat that action. So that's the sort of kinesthetic element of it. So we can access all of them. But we have different probably access points for learning new skills. So most people have got a visual learning preference, whether it's their primary one or their secondary one. So the use of video cameras are getting them to observe other people doing things from different angles is generally a pretty good way to go. And then you'll find out over time whether people are good at the auditory or are really good at the kinesthetic side of things, of feeling it. And often it's a combination of two things which ultimately get that learning to be embedded.
Lavers, do you tailor your coaching around the preferences that people have? Because a lot of the time, I suppose, it's sort of you throw things at people and see how they respond to them, right? But as time goes on and you get to know how people do things, do you find yourself tailoring your feedback and your comments in a certain way?
I think it's really good to have an awareness of how people like to receive information. So do I tailor information to them in the same way all the time? I would say no. However, when it comes to a situation where someone's particularly struggling and you know that they prefer one method and perhaps you're trying to deliver it in another method, whether it's in a group chat or in a way to challenge them, it's really good to know that there's another method that will suit them better. Yeah, ultimately, there's gonna be a stage where people are going to be challenged with different information in different forms. So being able to receive that information in a different way and learning to use different methods is going to be really useful. And it's yes, in an extreme situation, where someone's really struggling, it's good to revert to type and go to what they like and what they feel comfortable with. But around that, it's growing them as a person, growing their skill set and their learning, of their ability to learn. If you can also get them a little bit more comfortable or challenge them in using other learning styles as well. So I'd try and mix it up quite a bit, but also have a good awareness that there is going to be preference, and in terms of using the time that you have available and making the learning process as enjoyable for the person as possible, you're probably going to use their preferred option when the time comes and when it's required, and also sometimes when if you're just trying to speed up their understanding.
One of the things I've really noticed in the last year or so, especially working with older players, is that there's quite a big difference between people who like to do things on their own or in a one-to-one style situation, and then people who much prefer to do things in a group setting. And that's something where if you know that, then and you have got the opportunity to tailor, you can go to the guys who prefer working one-to-one. You can spend time one-to-one with them, and then with the group guys, you can allow them to get more done when they're in the group session.
And that's an additional thing on top of learning styles, isn't it? That's a preference for learning in terms of the environment you place around somebody. And that's, you know, that's normal, isn't it? You've got people that are better, that the people are on their own, one-to-ones. Smaller groups would probably be more towards the introversion element of how we get our energy, more introverted. And introverted people often they have lots of questions, but they don't tell you about them. So if they, you know, one of the great sentences, I think, the difference between introverts and extroverts is that extroverts prefer to be with bigger numbers generally, and introverts go with smaller numbers and have a preference of that. But the great statement I've heard, which is Gordon Lord, a great mate of mine, often says, is that if you don't know what an extrovert is thinking, then you're not listening. And if you don't know what an introvert's thinking, because you haven't asked them yet. And I think, you know, those one-to-one environments with introverts, you can often ask more questions, which then gets that progress going, and they feed off of that. Whereas often when we're working within an extrovert environment where you've got more people around, you tend to hear the extroverts. They tend to tell you what they're feeling and thinking, and then you sort of feed off of that. But if you imagine being an introvert within that environment, you'd probably shy away a little bit. You wouldn't necessarily get to hear of what they're thinking or feeling. And then you go to that follow-up stage where you go afterwards and say, you know, how do you feel about that? And then they start to come up with their internal thoughts, and then you start to do some coaching away from the session. And often with introverts, I think it's those off-piste moments that you really get into the nooks and crannies and the things that are going to make the biggest difference to them, rather than in those big group sessions where it tends to be the extroverts that take over.
I would also say to that, there are some people who appear to enjoy one environment more. I'm thinking about those who enjoy the group environment more. However, they are more productive in a one-to-one environment, and that's because of their kind of their style being very extrovert. They don't always accomplish quite so much. And they can be very much taken away from theme and what we're actually trying to achieve. And I've got a few people I've got in mind who really love that group environment, really love being able to kind of play or talk or train with lots of other people. However, that doesn't necessarily tie in with their success rate and their achievement within a session. So what is enjoyed isn't always what is successful, I would have said. With everyone, and that's obviously not just not a blanket response for everyone, but there will be individuals who enjoy one thing but maybe achieve more in another.
Yeah, I guess it's easier to lose focus in a larger group, isn't it? So I guess it's the same for people who are more have a preference towards being introverts, is that you can get lost in a big group as well and get nothing done, but in a different way. You're trying to focus on something, but because there's so much craziness going on, you just feel overwhelmed. So I guess it can happen one way or the other. The other thing I was thinking about while you were talking there, Gareth, was that it's not a black or white picture, right? There's not introverts and extroverts and never the twain shall meet. It's more like, in my mind anyway, it's more like a continuum. And you have some people closer to the extrovert end and other people closer to the introvert end. But we all have days where we just want to do nothing and be on our own and not see anyone. And we all have days where, you know, we're really excited about doing something in a group setting and being with your friends and doing fun, exciting things. Doesn't mean you're an introvert just because you do introverted things from time to time. And the same applies for, doesn't mean you're an extrovert just because you do extroverted things from time to time. You have to, understanding where you are on that continuum as a player and as a coach and understanding where players are helps, but it's definitely not the be all and end all.
No, it's not. But it's, you know, you hear about coaches, for example, that want everybody to be noisy, don't they?
Yeah.
And they're set in their fielding. When you're out in the field, that's the time where we can extrovert. And that's fantastic for people like me. That was it. You know, I used to have supporters shouting from the sidelines, telling me that if they wanted a commentary, they'd turn the radio on. You know, it was one of those ones. Whereas for some people, for them to make noise would actually take energy away from themselves. Whereas for myself, actually, me talking was a way of me gathering energy, so I could be on it when the ball went into the Knick zone and hopefully went off the edge and I'd go across and catch it. So we just have to understand that there's energy loss when introverts are in that extrovert zone that you talk about, David. Everybody can do it, but they're going to have a bigger energy loss than the extroverts actually are gaining energy through being in that mode. And then equally, you know, I quite like a bit of time on my own, but I find that I then need to go into an environment where I've got a bit more activity, a bit more people around me to then sort of recharge my batteries. I can do the introversion thing, but ultimately it's the extrovert's behaviour which and the environments which give me the energy to do what I do.
And let's finish up this section with a quick note about the Pitch Vision app, which is available, of course, on iOS and Android in the app stores there and the Google Play Store. Alongside all the features that were previously, like being able to video yourself and analyze your performance using just your phone, you can also now view people's profile pages on Pitch Vision. So if you want to follow any particular accounts such as Pitch Vision Jobs, Pitch Vision Academy, Gary Palmer, Ian Pont, you can head over to the Pitch Vision app and follow them to get all their updates in your specially tailored feed. Time now to have your questions answered on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. And how this works is a couple of questions are picked out from the ones that are sent in every week, and we do our best to answer those questions, help those players or coaches, and then we pick a winner, the best question of the week, which wins an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. You can email your questions into us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And the first question this week is from Rajnish. And Rajnish says, "Hello, I'm a 16-year-old pace bowler. I used to bowl with a mixed action, but recently I've changed to front on. And the problem is that I have an important trial coming up and I'm not confident with my action. What should I do to boost my confidence?"
Right, well, good question, and sounds like an exciting time, obviously, with the trial coming up, which is fantastic. Confidence is such an important thing, isn't it, when you're going into trials, going into to play in a match or any sort of scenario. I would first of all think about what we've done and why we've done it. So in looking to change from a mixed action to something that's a bit more front on, I guess we'd initially be thinking why. Usually a mixed action a lot of the time when that would develop to front on would often be someone who's changed their upper body, so they've probably gone from their feet being front on and their upper body being sort of midway to side on to try and get the whole lot front on. Now, one of the things we know a little bit more about these days is that having mixed actions isn't necessarily the the kind of the doom and gloom end of the world that we thought it would have been when we saw cricketers with them maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. So having that mixed action isn't necessarily something that was going to be causing you an immediate long-term sort of immediate injury that's going to put you back a long way. And what it can actually do is it gives you a little bit more upper body rotation, which can help you with a bit of speed generation. So first of all, I'd say don't completely discount it. If it was causing you a problem, if it was causing discomfort, or if it was something that you felt wasn't working for you, then obviously you're looking for a change, which is good. But if it was a slightly mixed action, you were still able to align yourself well, and you were still able to get yourself get the ball going in the right direction, then you might find that your body can actually cope with it. And coping with it, there's a bit of work to do in terms of the strength side of things and making yourself as robust as possible. In terms of confidence going and using your skills going to this trial, I would say go with what you feel you're most confident with, and don't think that right, I'm on a road, I'm changing something, and I'm changing it because it's going to change the way I bowl completely. It might be that actually the change isn't that necessary, and it's potentially just a bit of a speed bump in the road that is taking you one step backwards, and you're hoping for three or four steps forwards, and it might just kind of put you back where you were again. So I would think going into a trial, going into a final, going into any big day where you've really got to perform, you've got to go with the skills you trust, you've got to go with the action you trust, you've got to go with something you really believe in. And if that is means reverting a little bit more to your old action, then maybe that's the way you go. If it means sticking with your new action, then obviously you need to make sure you get out there, get comfortable with it, try and get as much preparation in on the day, so when it comes to actually delivering, you've got a little bit more confidence in yourself.
Gareth, it does seem to be a little bit like a timing issue here to make a change to your action before going into an important match or trial or anything is difficult, isn't it?
It is, and it is an unfortunate bit of timing, but sometimes we're not in charge of the timing when an intervention needs to start. But what we are in charge of is how we then, as Sam quite rightly says, go into that trial. And bottom line is you've earned the opportunity to trial because you've done enough stuff really well in your performances to get that opportunity. And I would just go out there and give it a go tomorrow doing what's got you there in the first place. You are aware that you've got a few technical things that you want to work on, and then after you've performed as well as you can do at that trial, I think that's the time to get down and get the dirty and hard work done and the tough work done to get yourself into a bowling position that you'd like to go with over a longer period of time. But tomorrow is all about performance. You know, you don't want to be worrying about your bowling action. You just literally want to be focusing on outcome tomorrow as much as you can to give yourself the best chance of success. Then when you get picked onto that program because you've performed well, then that's the time that you can probably be working with more senior coaches and cricketers, that you can do some really good work with them to get yourself into that shape and that technical shape that you're looking to do over a longer period of time.
Yeah, and that might impress people as well. If you're putting the work in to make a change, to make a technical change that you feel will help you improve, then that's a good sign to people, to coaches and people who are looking at the trial, saying, well, this is someone who is, you know, he's not messing around here, he's going for it. So that'd be a green flag to me if I was the coach looking at someone at trial and they came to me and said, oh, you know, I've been changing my action. Then I thought, well, obviously this is a guy who's appears to be doing a lot of very good hard work here. So that's the kind of character that would interest me, and I want to find out more about him.
Especially if he came to you and said, and I'm changing my action, this is why I'm doing it, and this is where I'm aiming to get to. I mean, that will show that somebody's got a real strong involvement in that process, not but it's just been given to him, oh, you need to change your action, you need to look like this, from a coach or somebody who's watched you from the sidelines, that you're in charge of that process. And again, as you quite rightly say, David, if a player comes in and says, this is what I'd like to do, this is where I'm aiming to do it, and this is how I'm going to go about it, then that's a pretty impressive place to be as a cricketer, particularly a young cricketer. And certainly I don't see enough of players taking that responsibility and accountability for their own development, and it would be music to my ears, that.
I think that is such a good thing, is it, when you see a young guy who's really taken ownership of what they
what they do and where, how they're going to get to wherever their goal's been set. It is extremely not just pleasing to see it, but exciting to think about working with someone like that who already has that level of commitment to what they're doing and is looking for that level of understanding and whatever it is that's going to take them to where they want to be.
Next question is from Vinayak, and Vinayak says, I'm a wicketkeeper batsman. I do well in nets, but in practice matches, I've scored a duck in all three games I've played so far. I'm a batsman who likes to bat in the top order and play calmly, but my coach sends me in the lower order and expects that I have to finish the game. I'm not that type of batsman. Can you help?
Right, well, it sounds like we've probably got sort of two areas or two potential discrepancies. And there'll be one from the coach's side and then maybe one from your side. And the two things that I'd be pointing towards would be, first of all, it looks like there's a bit of a communication breakdown. So maybe a conversation with your coach, and obviously they're not always easy to have. Some coaches aren't as approachable as others, but a conversation with your coach, just to voice your opinion and say that this, my skill set isn't necessarily ready for this role right now. So that would be a really good starting point to have with your coach. From your coach's point of view, he will be looking at it from the skill side of things, and he'll be saying, well, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, and he wants you to have these skills. So whether or not it's something that is a role you're going to play in the short term or the long term, a discussion is a really good starting point to working out what exactly you're going to do going forwards. And it might be that your coach is thinking, this is what I see you doing because I've seen something in the way you play, I've seen something in the way you bat, or you approach your training, you approach your cricket, which could really convert into playing that finishing role at 5, 6, 7, whatever it might be. And that may be something, is something that you're missing or you're not aware of that he hasn't communicated to you. Equally, you may have a conversation with him and say, look, I don't feel that these are skills I can create in the near future, and I don't actually want to play this role. And I think there is a big requirement for that, having that desire to want to do something. If it's not something you want to do, then that's something you should really be voicing as well. And ultimately having the awareness that if you want to be in the top order and there's not a spot for you in the top order, that could lead to you dropping down a team and dropping down a level. So starting point would be, have a conversation, be very open about it, let your coach know where you are, explain where you want to get to, and then ask him for his side of the story. Where does he see you playing, and why does he see you playing that role? And once you've done that, I'm sure you'll be in a much better position with a lot more information on both sides of the fence to actually kind of consider the role that you're going to play in the short term, in the next few weeks, but also come the end of the season, next season, the season after that as well. So, yeah, give him a ring, go and meet him, do whatever you do, find a comfortable environment where you can and have a chat.
Gareth, so is it, who's the person here who needs to take the initiative? Is it the player? Do you think it is the player because he's the one who is, you know, he's the one who's concerned? Or is it the coach because he has given a role to the player which is outside of his normal remit?
Well, it's a bit of both, but I'd say the player, really, because he's the one that's feeling it, isn't he? And obviously he's feeling it because he's been brilliant enough to write a question in for ourselves. So as often we talk about this very similar situation, say I have a chat with a coach, and I completely concur with everything that Sam said around opening up those channels of communication. I think I would like, if I'm the coach, so I'm going to put myself in the coach's position here with Vinayak and say I'd like him to come to me and tell me why he should bat in the top order, because obviously he's not got any runs yet, so that's not a great position to be in, and say I should be batting in the top of the order when you haven't got any runs. But that can happen to anybody. But also, I think what a great opportunity to learn about batting in the lower order, to learn some new skills that the top players in the world do that specialise in doing this, because what we're looking for as cricketers is the most adaptable and transferable types of characters that can do a multitude of different roles. You look at Joe Root. You know, he scored 100 in the first Test match in India, batting at 4, but he's also batted at 5 and 6. He's played different roles in 2020 cricket that he plays in Test match cricket, and he's really adaptable. And the same can be said for your Kohlis, and the same can be said for the AB de Villiers. And it's not as if they just go out and play the same type of innings or bat in the same position every single time they bat. They've got that flexibility and adaptability. So if you are going to be batting in the lower order, what are the skill sets that you need? What things do you see in the best players in the world that bat in similar positions? What are the characteristics? What are the technicalities involved? And why don't you go to the coach and say, I'm batting in this position. It's something that I haven't done particularly a great deal of times in the past. I haven't been particularly successful so far, but I've been looking at the best players in the world. These are the things that I'm picking out. Would you agree that these are the things that I need to work on, and would you like me to work on that? Now, that's a fantastic position to go into for a coach. A coach will instantly go, well, hang on a minute, this bloke's got a bit about them. I'll work with this fella. And the chances are that you get a couple of innings under your belt, and because you've shown that proactive nature, you end up getting back into those positions higher up the order, because the coach will start to trust you and start to want you to do well and support you in that journey. So I would say be really proactive on this. The coach is there to support, and ultimately it's up to you to build your career. But what an opportunity to learn some new skill sets, to get on the side of a coach, and then ultimately probably end up with yourself batting in the top four, which is where you want to be.
Okay, that's the end of the show for another week. We've hopefully helped you out a little bit in the last 25 minutes or so. But now we're going to head off. Before we do that, we just need to decide on the winner of this week's competition. Of course, the online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And the two questions on offer this week were Raj Nish's question about changing his bowling action and having a trial. And secondly, it was Vinayak's question about scoring ducks and batting in a way that he's not familiar with. Which one did you prefer this week, Gareth?
I'm going to go with Vinayak's question this week, but on a proviso, David. And you're going to hold on to this course for a little bit.
I will.
So my proviso to Vinayak is that he reports back to us and says that he's had that conversation, that he's been proactive in having that conversation, and also he's gone with some ideas to the coach of how he wants to work to increase his effectiveness as a lower order player. If he does that, then I think he very much deserves the course.
Okay, congratulations, obviously with that proviso, but let me know and we can get that sorted out for you. And Gareth, if someone else was listening to the show, wanted their question answered and maybe win the prize, how could they get in touch with us?
They can give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That's correct. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and Twitter @pitchvisionacad, and of course on the Pitch Vision system, public pages system we've got over there. Just go over and do a search for us on Pitch Vision. And while you're over there, you can get the show notes at pitchvision.com/academy, or you can stream the show, download it onto your computer, do whatever you like there. Do a search for podcasts in pitchvision.com/academy, and you'll find all the details on how to do that. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week, but until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, all.
Cheers, guys.